In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When our Lord Jesus tells us that there will be false prophets, it would be very unwise for us to ignore his warning. He doesn't say that there may be, or there might be, or what if, but he tells us that these things will happen. There will be people who infiltrate the church, the visible church, to teach something other than the very words of God. So we are bound to speak on this topic today. For we must believe the whole counsel of God, not just simply the parts that we like, or not just simply the parts that are easy to speak on or easy to hear. For the Word of God must reign supreme in our lives, not society and not our pious thoughts. Many will accuse us of being petty and divisive, but the Word of God must stand firm. The Word must have sole authority in final matters of our doctrine, our practice, and even in matters of our life. There is no compromise. There's no agree to disagree. There is only truth and error, right and wrong. And two different teachings cannot both lead to heaven. So the Word must have supreme authority. Every church claims to teach the Word of God in its truth and purity, but there are some who are wolves disguised as sheep. So how do you recognize them? Christ tells you by their fruit. So what is the fruit of a preacher? It is his words. It does not matter if they are good, kind, zealous. It does not matter if they are eager to follow God's commands and know that Word of God better than you, at least the words. Many of them will invite you to their Bible class to study with them. But all of this is nothing other than sheep clothing. Listen to what they say. What are they saying? Are they teaching the full words of God or something else? Are they calling sinners to repentance and faith? Are they urging them to be baptized in the Spirit-filled waters of baptism and then to feast on Christ's very body and blood in the Holy Supper? Or are they pointing them to themselves and how they can be better disciples of Christ and follow Jesus better? Are they teaching theology or about your life? Are they directing you to God's salvation or to your own self-improvement? It's attractive. It's attractive to look for a church that has good people, perhaps our age, who share the same values that you and I hold so dear. Especially as we look out in this world and see immorality running rampant. It's attractive to group together with just anyone who calls themselves Christians for the greater good, or what appears to be for the greater good. Satan's not an idiot. He's good at what he does. He will offer you whatever you want in exchange for your soul. You want good friends? He'll build a church with lots of them. You want a place that you and your spouse can both agree upon? He'll build one of those. You want ceremony and dignity? He'll even give you one of those. And he'll slap the name Lutheran on each and every one of them, for those who love the name Lutheran more than the Word of God. It is easy to set aside the purity of God's Word for something else. It is easy to give up our first love, Christ and his word, to conform to society, to conform and group together with other Christians, because then we feel like we have a better chance of making some headway in this immoral society. So do you see how we trust in ourselves to fix things rather than God? It's God's world, not ours. We cannot love unity more than we love the Word of God. We cannot love a moral society more than we love the Word of God. We cannot even love our family or our spouse more than we love the Word of God. We cannot love ceremony and dignity more than we love the Word of God. For the church is sustained and created. You are kept in this faith solely by the Word of God. It is how Christ feeds you and cares for you. And not even the gates of hell can overcome you, for you have the very promise of God in that word. No one can snatch you out of my hand. So out of love, Christ warns you. Do not move, even if all of hell rains down on you, or harder, do not move from that word, even if Satan promises you many good things. For Satan hasn't given up on you, not just yet. He hasn't given up on this congregation either, not yet. But rather, he attacks you with far more ferocity and anger than anyone else, because he seeks to pull you away from the truth of God's word. Baptism marked you as his mortal enemy, and he will not give up. So today, Charles entered a great battle, one that no father, pastor, or congregation could ever fight for him. His only defense? Jesus Christ, the Word of God. It's a battle of words, of deception and trickery, of sheepskin, yet destructive teeth. Oh, Charles, what have we done to you by giving you such a great enemy? Well, we've tossed him on to the promises and word of God. That's what we have done. And that's where we take our stand as well. That is why we will not change the word. That is why we are stubborn for doctrine and theology. For this word of God alone is our protection, our hope, our life. It is our comfort, our hope, our salvation. It is our certainty of that salvation. This is serious business, this theology, life and death. So we cannot just simply speak the truth, but we must also point out error, or else we only fatten the sheep for the wolf. Watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teachings you have learned, St. Paul warns. Keep away from them. Why would Christ's little lambs expose themselves to false teachings willingly? It's not just a different take on the scriptures, but it's a different take on salvation itself. It's a different way. For the word is not just some random facts about who God is, but the word is God, a compassionate and merciful God who wins salvation and then freely gives that salvation. To change the word, to change teaching, is to change God himself. So, do you want a God who conforms to your society or not? Who is influenced by your morals? Are you tired of a God who saves you in the waters of holy baptism, and who feeds you his very body and blood in the Holy Supper? Do you want a God who will change? But if he does change, then when will he stop? And so how can you ever be certain of your salvation if God keeps on changing? Rather, God will never change. He is and forever remains the God of the cross. So the word will never change. The teachings and doctrines of the church have not changed, really, since the days of Adam and Eve. Therefore, your salvation is certain and sure. He is and forever remains the God who bleeds for you to save you, who dies to redeem you, who rose so that your salvation might rest on his grace and his work for you, not on any pastor, not on any denomination, not even on their faith, but so that it might rest solely on Christ and Christ alone. And then Christ baptized you. Then he forgives you. Then he feeds you his body and blood. It is not I who do these things, but it is Christ. For your comfort, your fortress, and your defense is not found in me, or Lutheranism, or this church, but it is found in the one who bled and died for you so you might be saved. You rest on the sure promises of your God. No one can snatch you out of my hand, that is, the hand of Christ. The pastor who preaches this word faithfully and rightly administers the sacraments is a man of God. But when he fails or slips up, it is your responsibility to rebuke him out of love for himself and out of love for the sheep entrusted to his care. If he persists in his error and refuses to listen, then you must boldly say, "Get behind me, Satan, for you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." For the word of God has made you kings and priests with Christ. so gladly hear and learn that word. Commit it to memory. It is your only comfort, your only defense. St. Peter urges you, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would a soldier run into battle with a blunt sword? Would he leave it on his shelf for years on end? Of course not. Because he does not know when the enemy will attack, he takes care of it so that on the day of battle it will be a ready weapon. The word is your weapon. Hear it preached to you. Meditate on it daily. Talk about it while you are on the road or at home, when you go to bed and when you wake up. Make use of God's service, Bible class, and the other opportunities you have to hear that word of God. Because the day of battle is coming. Satan has not given up. He will attack. So hear that word so you may not be deceived as Eve was deceived. Be wise. Press on to maturity. Grow in the knowledge that you have been given. Guard your heart and hold everyone who speaks the word of God to you accountable. For the word endures forever. Pastors come and go. Denominations rise and fall. Church bodies come and go. But the word of God is your mighty fortress, your strong defense that will guard you against every evil attack. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.